This coming Shabbos, we're going to have the honor and privilege of reading Parshas Shelach, which begins, of course, with the command, Shlach Lecha Anashim, send Anashim for yourself. The late great Mira Shiva of Nassim Tzvi Finkelzatzal explained that the mistake of the Meraglim was that they were afraid that if the people would go into the land, they would no longer be relevant leaders. Rav Goldberg Zatzal, Rav Shiva and Karim Yavne offered a similar mimer in Asufas Barachos. But the question that Rav Nassim Tzvi asks is, why were Yoshua and Kalev saved? If it's Shlach Lecha, if you're going for yourself, how come they were saved? So Rav Nassim Tzvi explained that when Hashem doesn't support your mission, it can't be successful. And that was the case here with the Meraglim. But when it came to Yoshua and Kalev, who were both basing their trip on the will of Hashem, Yoshua, you see it in his name, Kal Yoshiach Me'atzas Meraglim, and Kalev, in regard to the fact that he showed in action as he went to Hebron, they were thus spared from the lack of the divine in general, in the general mission, and instead made sure the divine was part of their mission. Shlach Lecha Anashim, but always make sure that if you want to be successful, you have HaKadosh Baruch Hu backing the mission and supporting it. We're also told that after the situation, the Meraglim came back and they made an argument and they said, Lo nuchal alos el ha'am ki chazakum mimenu. They made the argument that they were not going to be able to go ahead and take over the people because they said the people were too strong. The Torah doesn't tell us what the motive of the Meraglim was. And why not? And what was their motive? So Rav Yechiel Yitzchak Pera, Sheshiva, and Farakli explained that sometimes giving a motive to an errant direction tends to normalize it and sometimes even excuse it. And so the Torah didn't want us to walk away with sympathy for this terrible Avera, and so hence the Torah didn't explain the motivation behind it. It was a different ball game. It was a different situation, and this was a very, very major difficulty and a major different issue. So then the Torah continues and tells us that Yoshua ben Nun ve Kalev ben Yefune minat tarimis aretz karu bigdeim. We're told that Yoshua and Kalev tore their clothing over this situation. Now, on a pshat level, this means that they tore their own clothing. However, the Reish Rav in the Drashva Ha'ion explained that there's another level of interpretation over here. When someone isn't sincere and his words don't reflect his feelings, we use the imagery of a cloak, a mask, or a veil, or some other garment that's covering his true feelings. We also use words like being exposed to discover someone who's caught in a lie. When the Torah says, Karu Bigdeim, that they tore their clothing, perhaps it's referring to the proverbial clothing of the Meraglim that they were using to cover up their falsehoods. Yoshua and Kalev exposed the Meraglim. They came around and they said, take a look, you guys have a personal bias. You don't understand what you seem to be doing. We also continue with the understanding that Hashem also jumped into the scene. And he says, Admasai la'ida ha'ra ha'zos, how long are we going to have to deal with this evil Eda? Now the Gemara determines that the source for a minion comes from the account of the Eda, which excluding Kalev and Yoshua, constituted 10 people, and henceforth we see that for Dvarim Shebekdusha we need a minion of 10. Now it's odd that the concept of minion comes from this group insofar as they were sinners in Kofrim and should not count towards a minion. So why would they be a source for a minion in the future? So Rosh Hashanah suggested that perhaps we learn an important lesson about Klal Yisrael here. We see that the determination of who is Klal Yisrael will come from the minyan of people in Eretz Yisrael. And without that, we may have great individuals, but not a Klal. The Eda is made up of the people in Eretz Yisrael, which at the time were simply the Meraglim group, right? And so therefore, to teach us that lesson, the Torah highlights that. After the story of the Meraglim, we're told, Vekriv ha-makriv karbano la-Hashem mincha. We're told that whoever brings the karban to Hashem, he's going to bring his karban of a mincha. And what does that mean? So Sforno writes that after the chait of the Meraglim, Hashem instituted extra mitzvos, including menachos and zvachim, in order to get people to feel close to Hashem again. That is to say, the Ravobi adds that we learn two ideas from this concept. First, that sin knocks us down one rung from a previous standing. And second, that another mitzvah can bring us closer. At the same time, we also see that even if we're removed, Hashem will meet us at whatever level we're at and will give us a chance to raise ourselves. So we're never fully lost over here in this regard. We just have to understand where we're headed and in what direction we can grow. You know, the end of the parsha contains within it one of the most important sections of the Torah, insofar as it makes up part of the parshios of Kriyat Shema, namely that of the parsha of Tzitzis. And in regard to the mitzvah of Tzitzis, we're told, that when we see the Tzitzis, we're going to remember all the mitzvos of Hashem, and we shall do them. And what does that mitzvah of remembering all the mitzvos and doing them have to do with the price of tea in China? So the Rav Nosson Wachvogel, the Mashgiach of the original Mashgiach of the Lakewood Yeshiva, commented that the Torah is highlighting the seeing of the tzitzis over here. In other words, without seeing the tzitzis, even if you know all the mitzvos, you might not be able to do the mitzvos. The bottom line is you can know everything, but without seeing the techeles, without seeing the techeles, the beginning of wisdom begins with seeing. Beginning of motivation is about seeing. Without it, change and action are not going to happen. The bottom line is you need to see in order to be able to change, and in order to change, you have to be able to see. Finally, in the parsha, at least, we're told, "Ani Hashem asher hotzeisi eschem me'eretz Mitzrayim." I am Hashem who has taken you out of Mitzrayim. What's the point of the highlight of the fact that Yetzias Mitzrayim is connected to Tzitzis? And why is the parsha of Tzitzis supposed to remind us about Yetzias Mitzrayim? What's the connection? So the late great Rav David Feinstein explained that when we talk about not following our hearts and our eyes, we're also being reminded to not to be like the spies who didn't follow the desire, who did indeed follow the desire of their hearts. Instead, Hashem is telling us to be as He was when taking us out of Mitzrayim. He recalled His promise. He didn't check to see what we deserved. And in turn, we should do the same and make sure that we're not running around checking on Him as well and following that which we think we understand in front of our faces. We're told about Tikacha Isha Espenes Shnean Hashem Aila Batitzbeno in the Haftorah, which is a famous Haftorah from Sefer Yoshua, about a different period of spies when two other people came in. We're told that the Isha Rachav Hazona took in the two people and hid one of them. And what was it that made Rachav Hazona change and decide to convert? And how could these two Jewish leaders dream of coming into this home of ill repute in order to be safe from those seeking them? How did they know that they'd be able to withstand the test of the place? So Rabbi Yamin Eisenberger explained that the two people went in order to destroy the Tumah of Eretz Canaan at its source. The Tumah of Eretz Canaan is Nus, and the source of this Nus was the house of Rachav. Everyone in Canaan failed at the home of Rachav. Everyone came there, says the Gemara Megillah, and that's why she was so well known. However, when the Meraglim withstood Rachav, she knew that there was a change in the air, and the spark of Kedusha in her was released, serving not only to turn her around, but to turn around the power of Tum in the land, making it powerless in the face of Tara, which would ultimately be the source of the success of Am Yisrael. And so with that, we turn around and look forward to the source of Am Yisrael in the future. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu get us to the period where we can kick the Tumah out of Eretz Yisrael and make the place a Makom Tara for all of us to be Zoche, to live. B'mheirav Yameinu, Shabbat Shalom to all.